Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 47, the modern quilt episode. That's pretty much all I talk about in all the quilt diaries. I was working on my shoe fly pie quilt all week, and by the way, it's Monday, and I might even get this posted tonight, which is pretty good. Maybe Monday will be my day. I have no idea. And I can't ramble too much because we're really going to hit 50 minutes with this thing. And you need to get back to work or to work or go say hello to your children. So I'm going to move right into this episode. It is Monday, July 11th. And it is hot outside. But guess what? It's North Carolina in the summer. So we can't even complain because it's just hot in July in North Carolina in the summer. It's not too bad. Not too bad, really. And it's going to be 87 at the end of the week, and that's marvelous. Thank you to everyone who commented this week. Sandy Vanya, who is having some problems accessing all my podcasts, has been trying to not access episodes 1 to 23 and then 26. Is anyone else having problems accessing? Or, on the contrary, are you kind of a newish listener who has actually been listening to the old podcast and have been able to access 1 to 23. Either way, let me know so I can pass on what you have to say to Sandy. I don't know what the problem is there, but let's see if we can figure it out. Heard from Robin, who I still need to, we need to talk about re-giving away Stitched. I'll get on that this week. I'm starting to feel like I'm at normal speed now and getting things done. It has taken a couple weeks. Heard from Noni, who fussed at me because I did not ask her to tell me how to tilt my blocks in a right word direction, and I should have. Noni, you're absolutely right, because Noni is the font of all quilting wisdom. She is. She knows a lot. Heard from Patty, who is also, like me, loving the French General fabrics. I am. And then I heard from Kelly the Fifth, who not only loves French General, went to the store. I didn't know that they had a brick and mortar store, but Kelly the Fifth says they do. It's in Los Angeles, and she visited just a few weeks ago and said it was lovely. I love French General fabric. I really do. It always catches my eye when I'm at Thimble Pleasures. Just beautiful. Heard from Colleen, who said not only is there a UK iTunes store, there is a Canada iTunes store. In fact, iTunes has stores in just about every country you can think of. And it's funny because you can just switch very easily to make your iTunes account at UK or Canada or Turkey. I have not done Turkey yet. I just don't believe that anyone has left up any iTunes reviews for my podcast in Turkey, though you never know. If you want to get in touch with me, by the way, please email me, fdowell@mindspring.com, and sooner or later, most likely later, I will email you back or leave a comment. I have two sites. One is http://theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and the other is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com. And if you want to see the pictures of the latest quilt, the usual out of focus, have to click on in pictures because I haven't dealt with that issue yet, please go to the WordPress site and you can see them. I haven't bound the quilt yet. I'm almost there. Have been doing a little bit more hand quilting on Hidden Stars. So now that I'm kind of hand quilting, the man and I are watching a little TV at night. We go through phases where we don't, but now we're back into a watching some TV at night phase, which is nice, which is good for the hand quilting. In fact, I need suggestions for good things to watch on TV. Right now, we've just started watching Sports Night, which was an early Aaron Sorkin series, and that seems to have a lot of potential. I don't know how many seasons it runs. We, of course, have watched all of Mad Men, have watched most of the HBO series, the really good ones, and the last series we watched was like the first season of Men of a Certain Age, which was wonderful, waiting for season 2 of Modern Family to come out on DVD. We just have a hard time during the school year staying up with shows that come on at 8 or 9. That's just a really busy time for us with the boys, getting them to bed and homework and all of that. So we decided we would just wait for season 2 to come out, and it's taking forever, and I love Modern Family. But do you have a show that you would recommend that we watch? Because I would love to have a show, especially one really good, and that has several seasons, because that's fun. If you get into a show, it's always disappointing when you finish a season and there's nothing left or you have to wait. So that is what I would like to hear from you. If you've got some feedback on that for me, I would really appreciate it. Do I have anything else to tell you? I don't think I do. I thanked people, right? I just thanked people. Oh, I forgot to thank also for on episode 46, I think, heard from Jane, who sounds like was also at ALA, and she didn't know I was going to be there, and I didn't know she was going to be there. Jane, I will let you know when next I go to ALA, and we can meet up. That would be fun. I should let people know in advance, because, yes, sometimes quilters are also librarians. How cool is that? All right, let's get on with the quilt diaries. Quilt diary, day one. It's Thursday, July 7th. I'm sitting on the screened porch. It's probably about 90 degrees out here. To be honest, it's not that bad. A little muggy, but really, it could be 100. And that's a huge difference. So it's not like I want to spend all day back here. Actually, I do. It's really nice. But a little hot for really hanging out full time. But it's not bad. And the house is cold. I've got the air conditioning off, but it just was running earlier. Too cold. So I'm happy out here on the porch. Me and the birds and my tomatoes, of which we have plenty. Earlier this week, I made tomato sauce. It was so good. Spaghetti sauce, really. Not just plain tomatoes, but, you know, chopped up the onions and sautéed the garlic and did the basil, all of that. And I froze it. We have a small deep freeze, and you cannot can sauces that have oils in them. I think it must affect the seal somehow. I may do some diced tomatoes and try canning those. We're about to have like 500 tomatoes all at once, so I'm going to be having a real tomato fest around here, and so I'll be thinking of all kinds of different ways to use up the tomatoes. We are just eating a ton too because they're so good. The big hit of the summer so far are the brandy wines. It's heirloom tomato, just amazing, just delicious. The Sun Gold tomatoes, the little golden cherry tomatoes, of course, always make everyone happy. They're like candy. But lots of different kinds we've got going here. And we're just tomato people. The man's talking about going to Lynchburg in a few weeks, I guess in the beginning of August, to go to the Thomas Jefferson Tomato Fest. Whether or not we'll really end up doing that remains to be seen. I like the idea of it, except for the part of being an outdoor festival on August 3rd. I don't think I am one with the outdoor festival. We have a big festival here over the 4th of July weekend. It's over at the Eno River, Festival of the Eno. It's huge. I won't go. Just won't. It's outside. It's hot. It's sweaty. And there are a lot of people dancing with paint on their faces, and that's enough for me to stay home. Just not the outdoor festival type. I did go to, you know, the Fiddle Festival at the beginning of June, and that was neat. Probably won't go again. Just too hot. I'm a delicate flower. I wither. I can deal with 90 degrees. That was the funny thing about New Orleans, is all the New Yorkers going, oh, it's so hot. It wasn't really that hot. But that's neither here nor there. What I actually sat down to talk about was I have just basted shoe fly pie. The shoe fly pie quilt, the Kona Solid Robert Kaufman Modern Quilt Guild Challenge quilt, and I might get it quilted before Sunday's meeting. I was looking at the Leah Day site. You know, she has tons. It's very neatly indexed, all her different machine quilt patterns. She has lots of free ones, and I mean, they're not printout patterns. They just, you go and you watch the video. And the one that I like particularly is a square spiral, if such a thing can truly exist, but where you're, if you imagine doing spiral circles within circles within circles, one continuous line, you do the same thing except you do squares. And I like the look of that. I don't think I'm going to quilt within the shoe fly square itself. I think I'll do just a quilt around. What is that called? There's a huge truck coming down the road. Can you hear it? Sounds like an 18-wheeler, which would be strange. But, you know, stitch in the ditch, kind of quilting around the inner square of the block with the actual shoe fly pattern. But I was thinking in the maroon / burgundy, who knows, red, within the red, might try some of that. It looks fun. I'm going to sit down in a little bit here and practice sketching, you know, drawing the square within a square, the square spiral, because I think that's a good way to train yourself for the actual machine quilting. I really like the back of the quilt. What I did is I took a lot of the, it's very Gwen Marston what I did. So I love quilt backs that got a little something something going on, and I wanted to do that. So I took a lot of the strips of the leftover Robert Kaufman Kona solid fabric charm pack, and I did rectangles, and then cut the rectangles on an off-kilter diagonal line. I made kind of a ladder of strips that way, and then I encased them. I made a long rectangular block, putting a kind of a goldish fabric, using a goldish fabric for the sashing of the block, if you want to call it that. I don't know what you call it. It's not really sashing. It's not the material between the blocks. It's the fabric I used to actually make the block, complete the block. And I, you know, again, no idea what it's called because I never think to write that stuff down. But it's also a Kona solid fabric. Yes, Robert Kaufman has made a lot of money on me from this project. And then the main backing fabric is pumpkin. So you have the pumpkin backing and then the sort of, gosh, what would you call it? Kind of a burnt goldish kind of color. And then the fabric ladder, the strip ladder. I love it. I could see actually this. I plan to hang this quilt on a wall somewhere, and I could see hanging either side. They're very different quilts. And you know, here's the fact. I'm not sure that pumpkin fabric, it, of course, it goes with the red fabric on the front because it's part of the same color line, but it's not like, wow, that's amazing. How did you come up with that color combination? It just goes. It's fine. I don't care. I really love how it looks. So I'm really pleased, and I want to do the quilting right. It's not a huge quilt. It's very small. It's 30 by 30, so I could conceivably have it done by Sunday. We'll see. I've got some stuff coming up this weekend that may get in the way of that dream. But I think I could take it basted, and it would be fine either way. But we'll see how obsessed I get with it. It's Thursday. The meeting's Sunday. Could I get it actually quilted and put the binding on? Maybe I can. But I really like it. I like the way it looks. By the way, speaking of how things look, I posted pictures on the WordPress blog earlier this week. And, you know, I need to get the man to help me. I really, really, really do. And deal with this pixel situation where the pictures, when you look at them directly on the blog, they always look out of focus unless you click on them. But the picture I posted of, I think, six of these blocks, actually, when you click on it, it's still out of focus. I think it's actually an out of focus picture. So sorry about that. I will try to take pictures of this quilt that are not out of focus. And I also will try sooner or later to deal with my pixel problem where I can maybe make these files a little smaller so that you can see them directly on the blog without having to click on them to see them clearly. So feeling just very accomplished and pleased to have spent time on this project and to be happy and to think this is not an ugly quilt. It's a very cute quilt and I like it. And I will ponder over, you know, the next few weeks, months, years, whether or not I could have done better color combinations. I mean, I know I can, or could have, because I think that I'm sure that there are people, you know, that someone could say, oh, if you'd only use this color for the background fabric instead of the red, that would have been great, and they'd probably be right. But I'm pleased with what I have, and just feeling good. Also, almost done with my kitchen curtains. I've got the bottom two curtains done. I'm doing them cafe curtain style, so there's, you know, little the curtains, instead of having created a little pocket to put the rod through, I'm hanging them on clip hoops, you know what I mean, little cafe things, and it's very cute, but I have to redo the top one. So I have two on the bottom, and I'm doing a top sort of valance type of deal. But I made that too long, and I also actually made a pocket for that to put the rod through. And it doesn't look right to have one curtain, the valance, if that's what it is, in fact, hanging from a rod, and then having the two bottom curtains hanging from their little silvery hoops or loops or rings. I think you call them rings. They are clipped onto silver rings. And it's nice. You know, curtains make such a difference. I am like not Martha Stewart. I mean, I love like when I walk into a house and it's fabulous and everything's put together and whoever has decorated it, you know, usually the person living there has a good eye and you know, It's not that I don't have a good eye. I just, it doesn't naturally occur to me like, oh, we should have curtains on the windows, you know? But, you know, it really changes a room. And in our living room, there's a huge window. I mean, it's humongous. It's, you know, 5 feet up and down, 5 feet up and down. That's high. And maybe 10 feet wide. You know, it's three windows actually in a row. And that may be, no, I think that's probably the right dimensions for it. But then it needs curtains. That room needs curtains. And the curtains will really pull that room together. But, you know, the thing is I always want to make my own curtains because curtains are expensive. And also when you make your own, then you can pick fabric you really like as opposed to going to JCPenney and, you know, because I'm not made of money. So I'm not, you know, or Target and hoping they'll have something you love. And sometimes, you know, sometimes Target does have stuff I love. But, yeah, and you know what? I don't think I'm going to make curtains for the big window. That's a lot of curtain. That's a lot of curtain making. But we are going to IKEA one of these days soon, my big dream. And when that happens, they have inexpensive curtains that I like. I like what I've seen in the catalog. So, but very, whoops, someone's coming out. Hold on. All right, I was interrupted. That was Will. And you know what? I was talking about curtains, but I don't know where I was going. I think I'll finish this up now. It's possible I'll talk more later today or sometime later this week. Don't know if I'm going to get this episode posted on Sunday. Maybe Tuesday's my new day. Oh, I'm so unpredictable. All right. Talk to you later. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Friday night, July 7th, 8th, 9th. I don't know. I don't know what the day is anymore. I've lost that ability. 8th, right? Let's not bore ourselves with this talk. Go look at the calendar. Okay, it's Friday. It's Friday. And I've been quilting this quilt. And I have to tell you, so I decided to go ahead with the square spiral that I found on the Leah Day site. And I love it. I started messing around with it last night. Well, first what I did last night was I drew it over and over and over so my brain would understand what it needed to do to guide my hands and also to help my hands understand what they needed to do in the free motion quilting process. And then I made some sandwiches to practice, and I actually had extra fabric from the border fabric for the quilt, and we are of course discussing the Shoe Fly Pie quilt. So that's what I used to make, that maroon red fabric. And the thread I got at Thimble Pleasures the other day is kind of a pumpkin color. Though interestingly, it looks fairly gold when you put it on the maroon red burgundy fabric. And it was beautiful. You know, the quilting pattern, it was just beautiful. So tonight I did a little bit more practice and then I got down to it. I don't know how I feel about it, because one of the things, if you do this quilt pattern, this sort of square spiral, you know, it ends up looking kind of Greek, and I realize it made me think of a toga that Will made for Greek Week at his school. It wasn't really Greek Week, like the fraternities, but they studied Greece, and so they had a big Greek day and a big Greek feast, and the children made... They weren't togas. Are they called chitons? Something like that. C-H-I-T-O-N-S. And Will decorated it with that kind of pattern that he found online, sort of around the hemline of his toga. This may be called a chiton. And that's kind of what this looks like. The other thing is that because this pumpkin thread really sort of looks gold, it gives the quilt a more formal feeling. But it's changing the more I quilt in, you know, the more I get quilted, you know, the overall look is changing. And I haven't decided what to do with the shoe fly squares, with the shoe fly blocks, I guess you would call them. The shoe, you know, the triangle block. See, here's the thing. I'm not sure what to call the whole block. The whole block would be the shoe fly pattern thing with the surrounding red fabric. And so when I say the shoe fly square, I mean my little nine patch triangle wonky thing that I constructed out of fabric by sewing it together. Anyway, so, all right, so that, I've been leaving those so far unquilted. I think I'm going to have to quilt them. and just quilt each little 9-patch part, you know, each patch, and just do it. And you can't see my fingers moving to show you how I'm going to do that. For a while I was like, maybe I'll just do stitch in the ditch around that. I think I talked about that yesterday, and that's not going to work. I think it's going to all have to be the square spiral, and I'm still not sure how it's going to look, but I have to tell you, I am pretty much in love with the back of this quilt. I can't wait to show you a picture. And so even though, I'm like, part of me is like, am I ruining my shoe fly pie quilt? I mean, I'm not ruining it. It's just possible this was not the best quilting pattern for it. But when you turn it around, it's gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. Okay, that's an exaggeration. But it's really kind of super cool. And my friend Danielle was over today, and I showed her the front. She's like, oh, pretty. Oh, that's so cute. That's so nice. And then I showed her the back, and she was like, oh, Frances. And partly it's her colors. Danielle, is what her coloring is such. I guess, and my mom would be able to confirm this because she knows about this, whether you're winter or spring or summer or fall. I think Danielle's very much a fall. She can wear pumpkins and golds. She really wears colors, and you know, and she is perfectly, she is just your plain, average, pretty white woman, but she wears colors that I think often look great on African-American women that would make me look like I'd been sick for a long time and really wasn't getting any better. You know, I mean, just could not go with my skin. And so anyway, so the colors on the back of this quilt are her colors. If she stood next to that quilt, you'd just be, oh my goodness, you matched the quilt. They really are her. So that was part of her response. But I think part of her response was she really liked it, and I really like it too. And the quilting, my square spiral quilting, really works with it. The only thing that I'm concerned about, so I think I tried to describe this, the back to you, how I made kind of a ladder of strips from the leftover charm pack stuff. And essentially I made triangles, cut the triangles on the diagonal, and then mixed and matched and sewed stuff together, and then set it in gold fabric, kind of a goldish, orangish fabric, which I cut so it's a little wonky. So it really makes a rhombus, Pam. Head rhombus. That's what I've made. I've made a rhombus. I should dedicate this quilt to you. That's what it looks like. And it's just, and that's fairly centered, maybe a little off-centered on the back. And then it's, and I set that rhombus within this pumpkin-colored fabric. And it looks really neat. It just does. I'm sorry. Maybe you'll look at it and I'm sorry. I feel braggy. I feel conceited saying that, but it does. It looks neat. And yeah. So, and part of me is like, you know, excuse my cussing, but to hell with the front. I mean, and it's cute. I like the front. I think the front is really cute. But in a way, it's nothing special. It's not unspecial. It's cute. And I'm pleased because, you know, I was concerned about having an ugly quilt, and this will not be an ugly quilt. But the back is really cool. So there's part of me is just like, just do whatever quilting makes the back look good. Is that nuts? I mean, the back, it just, this quilt has no back. This quilt has no back. It is truly a two-sided, reversible, look at it always, baby, you'll be happy kind of quilt. Oh man, I'm just talking. It's late. I'm just talking. But still, that is my prime objective at this point with the quilting, is to make sure the back of the quilt looks good. And I'm a little concerned about how the quilting will look over my rhombus. That is like my main concern. It's like, don't hurt the rhombus. So that's where I am. I don't know what I was thinking. I bought one little spool of thread. This is Aurifil thread, so it's a little kind of cone of thread, tiny. Why? I don't know. I think maybe, I don't know what I was thinking, but it was not that I would be making these 2-inch square spirals across this quilt, so I have to go back yet again to Thimble Pleasures and buy up a lot more thread. So here's the question. I actually, will I finish quilting this? Will I have a finished quilt to take with me on Sunday? I might. Now, tomorrow is Saturday, and my plan is I've got to go to a neighborhood meeting. My neighbors are planning a block party, and I'm going to get in on that because I'm a good neighbor. I think we know some of our neighbors, but not a ton of them, and I would like to know more. So I'm going to that. Then I'm going to go to the farmer's market, and I'm going to buy blackberries, and I'm going to can them. And this is actually in preparation for Tuesday when my friend Daniil and I are going to take Will and Daniil's daughter Erin. They're good buds. We're going to go blueberry picking. And then we're going to come over here and we're going to can blueberries. And Daniil's never canned. I've canned strawberries and taken a canning class. And I'm reviewing my canning materials as we speak. But yeah, so I felt like, wow, I should do a run through. So make sure I remember all the steps, and you know, I've got like 5 or 6 books now. And they have blackberries at the farmer's market, so I think I'm gonna do that. And I also have some crazy plan. I'm gonna make mozzarella cheese. Why am I planning this all for one day? I don't know. And I may put off the cheese until Sunday. You know, I think I've just been wanting to make the cheese, and I've got the cheese making kit, and so I don't know. I just want to have all sorts of wonderful things. You know, food-wise, in my kitchen. But I may have to put off the cheese making and just focus on canning, which really shouldn't take more than a couple hours. It really shouldn't even take a couple hours, but I'm still learning, so it might take me a little longer than it might take a more experienced canner. But other than that, you know, I mean, hang out with my family and probably, you know, watch a movie or something with the man tomorrow night. But it's not going to, once I get the thread, that is, of course, on my list of things to do tomorrow now is run back to Thimble Pleasures and get more thread, lots of it. But it won't take that long. I mean, I really am probably about halfway done on the quilting, and that it only took an hour. So really, and this is 30 by 30 quilt. So doing the binding shouldn't take that long either. It's been an interesting experience. I have become in this week just thoroughly obsessed with this quilt, and now I'm kind of like, oh, you know, I'm sure you could find something better to bind it with. I'm also thinking I need to go buy more fabric in this line and make Daniil a quilt because these colors are so perfect for her. And she would love it. But then I would have to make my friend Amy a quilt, which is fine. I love Amy too. But those aren't her colors. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, let me add 3 or 4 more quilts to my roster of quilts. But yes, this has been a really interesting week with this little quilt. And I could finish. I can definitely finish the quilting tomorrow, and I can get the binding made. And maybe my goal will be to have the binding ready to sit down and watch a movie with the man tomorrow night and get this quilt bound. That would just kind of be freaky, and haven't decided about washing it because it will definitely be a wall hanging quilt. So why bother? You know. On the other hand, I like the look of a washed quilt. On the other hand, it's got, you know, good yard of red fabric. It wasn't pre-washed. So that's it for another day. And I will end this up now. And I know you're on the edge of your seat. I'll be back soon with the latest report. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Sunday, July 10th. And I am ready to take the Shoe Fly Pie quilt to the Modern Quilt Guild meeting this afternoon. I'm not quite done with it. Let me tell you what happened. So I did the quilting, and I did these spiral square pattern that looks a little Greek. Also, actually, altogether kind of looks kind of Asian. It's beautiful. I actually really like it. And what going into it, when I started the quilting, I was not sure what I was going to do with the Shoe Fly 9 patches themselves. How was I going to quilt the 9 patches? So I thought, well, I'll just decide after I quilt around the 9 patches. Well, here's what I didn't take in account. The quilting, when you do the square spirals, it's very tight quilting. You get a very flat quilt. You're using a ton of thread. And this is a small quilt, and I went through 2 spools, small spools of thread. Nonetheless, used a lot of thread. So what happened when I finished quilting all around the Shoe Fly 9 patches, the 9 patches stood out in relief. And it's kind of cool looking, but I can't decide. What I ended up doing was doing a square spiral in the center square of each nine patch. I'm not talking about this very clearly because I don't quite know. What is a block? Is a block the square in which your pattern exists, or is it the square and then the sashing around it or the fabric around it? I don't know. So I don't know how to talk about it. Isn't that funny? Because it's not sashing. The red fabric around the nine patch is not sashing. It is part of the block. But what I am trying to talk about is that square within the red fabric, which is the shoe fly pattern itself. And that's why I'm, instead of referring it to a square or a block, I'm referring it just to as the nine patch, the specific nine patches, nine little squares that I sewed together to make a pattern. So, and each one of those is now raised in relief, although I did do the square spiral in the center of each one, which is very cool looking. But the question is, does everything need to be quilted? Because now it really looks like art, I have to tell you. Not in any conceit, not great art, but it really looks like something you would hang on a wall. It looks like a relief map. It also looks, you could say, it looks blistered because these things are raised up. So I'm living with it, and I haven't put on the binding, in part because I have an excuse not to, because I think I'm going to take it to the meeting and just get people's opinions. If they, someone may have something. There's some really good experienced quilters there, and obviously it's always good to have more than one set of eyes. The man looked at it, and he's just like, I think it looks great, but I don't know. He was trying to sort of come at it philosophically. He's like, is a quilt by definition in nature supposed to be level? Is it all supposed to be flat? I'm like, well, I mean, the purpose of quilting is to hold the three layers, to hold the layers together, and the layers are definitely held together. So there's no, I don't need to quilt these nine patches for any practical reason. So it's all aesthetic. And then he said, it looks great to me, and stepped away slowly, step away from the quilt. So I'm going to take it tonight and see. And I'm also going to get the man to take a picture of it so you can have a decent picture of it instead of one of my horrible pictures. And you can tell me what you think too. Although by the time I get this posted, I may have made a decision. And in fact, the picture I post may be a finished quilt. The back looks great. I mean, I know in the last quilt diary, and on day two of the quilt diary, I was a little bit rhapsodic, perhaps, about it. I like it. It looks neat. The quilting works with it. So it's cool looking. I think in day two of this quilt diary, I really made it sound like perhaps it was the most beautiful piece of quilting ever in the world. It's not quite that, but it's cool. I like it. It's neat. I think this is the first time that I've ever done something different with the back of the quilt. So that's why I'm so excited. I understand that really it's just okay, but it's cool. I like it. So that is where I am on this. I'll be interested to hear what the folks tonight say. I'll be interested to hear what you say. I've had a good time doing this. I love free motion quilting. If you haven't been free motion quilting and you're thinking maybe you'd like to, go for it. Just go. First of all, let Noni know. Go over to Noni's Quilting Dreams and say, Noni, I'm thinking about free motion quilting, because Noni is such a treasure of resources, and she will say, here's where you need to go, she'll direct you to all the books and websites and blogs and whatever that you need to go to in order to learn. So that's what I would suggest. Go over to Noni's Quilting Dreams, and she'll take your hand. There are also lots of good books. There's the Leah Day blog, and you can also, I went to YouTube and watched videos, which is really helpful. But there's something about the whole process. I think if you're a doodler, which I am, if I'm sitting in a meeting, I draw and I doodle and I like doing little patterns. I think if you enjoy that, you would love free motion quilting, just because it's like doodling on speed. It's like doodling, but with horsepower. And it's just neat. And, you know, it's funny looking at the quilt. I mean, you can see it's like you start off. There's sometimes with the free motion quilting, you know, there's you're having to coordinate, you know, your foot's on the pedal, you got your hands on the quilt, and trying to get the speed and trying to move your hands, moving the quilt so you're getting even stitches and controlling the speed of the machine. Sometimes there were times where I just felt like, whoa, slow this baby down. And I'm like, you're in control of it. Why can't, but you can't. For some reason, you're like moving the fabric and you're like, wow, I feel I'm out of control. And you're like, you could just stop. I'm like, no, I can't stop. I can't stop. I'll go off the cliff. Which is just, it's funny. And I had to keep reminding myself of my mother's excellent advice when free motion quilting is that, and that is, don't forget to breathe. You really do. One thing, I really would like a sewing machine that has the needle down thingy. You know, so when you stop, your needle is down. Because that's a huge pain. Because there are times when you're free motion quilting and you want to stop. But it's very hard to do that, to stop with the needle down. I don't know why that is. Just to figure out when the needle's going to be down. It's all going so fast. But I do. I love free motion quilting. I think it is so fun. It was fun to do a new pattern. And I'm looking forward to trying more patterns. Will, this morning, is like, okay, so are you going to be working on my quilt now? I'm like, yes. My new focus will be on Will's quilt. Bless his little heart. This boy wants a quilt. He wants his mom to make him this quilt. I'm going to do it. So I think I will stop here and then come back either tonight after the meeting or tomorrow and let you know how the Modern Quilt Guild meeting went. I'm excited to see other people's quilts. I went online, I guess to Flickr, and found lots of other folks all around in the Modern Quilt Guild, different tribes, with pictures of their quilts. There's a lot of neat stuff. There's some stuff you're just like, ah, you need to push yourself harder than that, young lady. But mostly you're just going, wow. You know, it's neat. I think that, to me, is one of my favorite things about being part of the quilting community. There's just so much creativity and so much talent. And I've been thinking lately, I've been thinking about theater. When we went to Ocracoke, we went by way of Nag's Head, which is more at the top of the Outer Banks. So we drove through the eastern part of North Carolina and got crossed a bridge, and there we were on Nag's Head, and we went to see a play, an outdoor play. It's like I think it may be the country's oldest outdoor drama, and it's called The Lost Colony, which is about the first English settlers in North Carolina. I don't know if they were very early. I mean, this is way back in the day. And they came over and with Sir Walter Raleigh, and there was a small colony, and they were left, and the big dog, Sir Walter Raleigh, and the rest went back to England, and they were going to come back with more supplies, but they got stuck. There was a war, and Queen Elizabeth I said, "You can't go back. I can't spare the ships." And when they finally came back, I think it was 3 years later, everyone was gone. But there was no signs of a massacre. There was no signs of, you know, disease or illness. It really looked like the people had left, but they were never found. The only clue is someone had carved like Croatan in a tree or Croat, something, and that was a tribe. So one theory is that they went with the Indians and lived with them, and that's how they survived. Any event, a fascinating story and a wonderful, wonderful play. And we loved it. You never know with that kind of, we were like, is this going to be really cheesy and campy? But it wasn't. A lot of the actors, they were young actors. They had, you know, had just finished their MFAs. The lead players were people with, you know, a fair amount of stage experience. One of the things that I enjoy about going to plays, which I don't do a lot, probably one or two a year, but I love stagecraft, and I love when things are really you know, theater people just can be so imaginative. You know, the set designers and the directors and how people... I love scenery. I love watching the scenery being changed and how they do that. And it's always kind of magical. And I thought about this a couple weeks ago when we went to see... I guess it was last week. Jack did a theater camp, drama camp, and they did Tom Sawyer. And it was amazing. These kids were only together for a week. They were all off book by Wednesday. And they did an amazing job, and it was so fun to watch them. I'm so impressed that the camp leaders are actually brother, sister, college age. I know the brothers in the theater department at UNC just did an incredible job with these children. I mean, I was very moved by it. But I thought, but it's so fun to watch other people's imaginations at work. And I thought about this again last night when we watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the original one with Gene Wilder. You know, just wonderful. Again, you know, and that whole thing, the song about pure imagination and, you know, and you're, but looking at the sets and looking how it was staged and Gene Wilder's, what do you call that? You know, the way that people move, you move across the stage. I can't remember now. The term is eluding me. But just amazing. And when you become aware of, wow, the imaginations that had to come together. You know, you can feel it like watching Toy Story. Who came up with this stuff? It's very inspirational to look at someone else's creativity. And it's, you know, it's very fun when you don't feel threatened by it, which I think if you're a creative person is possible. It's possible to not enjoy other people's quilts because you're like, oh, they're so good and I'm so bad. But I think that for me is one of the fun things about quilting. I don't have great aspirations to be a great quilter. I'm quite aware of where I exist on the food chain. And that frees me to really enjoy genius, which sometimes as a writer, you know, if I'm reading genius, I'm like, ah, man, this really makes me mad. But with quilting, you know, you just are. And it's a, to me, that's a very powerful thing. And so I'm really looking forward to tonight, to seeing the genius that I believe will be on display. It's certainly every time I've gone to any kind of Quilt Guild meeting, modern or not, the show and tell always slays me. It always knocks me out. What people are just doing as they're sitting around, you know, watching Glee. You know? It's like, wow, I can't believe you did that. So... excited. We'll give you a report. Going to stop now. And I will talk to you again soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 4? I can't remember. Is it Day 3 or 4? Just don't know. But I can tell you the date. No, I actually don't know if I can tell you the date. The day is Monday. I believe it's July 11th. And I'm sitting on the porch. You might be able to hear the cicadas. This is perhaps one of my most favorite summer sounds. I love the birds. I love the birds, but there's something about the cicadas rubbing their little legs together in the trees. I think it's neat. Don't know why. Could be weird. So I went to the Modern Quilt Guild meeting last night where we had show and tell, and it was really fun. And there was, I wouldn't say a wide range of quilts. They were, although there were some that were quite exceptional. This one woman, I believe her name is Megan, who's very nice, and I've seen her in both. She's both in the sort of Orange Durham Quilt Guild, this sort of more traditional Quilt Guild, and this. I think she's just like a serious, hardcore quilter. She's young. She also went to a quilting bee a couple months ago, and she was there. Very pleasant. And she is a traditional quilter, but I think she, in general, she's not a wonky quilter. Maybe I should say that. That's the question. Does modern equal wonky? I don't think so necessarily, right? Because you can, you don't have to have wonky lines to make a modern quilt. But she decided she was actually going to use this challenge to force herself to get wonky, and she did. And her quilt was beautiful. It really looked like an Irish, sort of a wonky Irish chain. It was really quite gorgeous. There were several. Somebody did, is it like the Japanese underground or, you know, Tokyo subway? I think that Ofransan put up the pattern. And I could check on that. And I might link to it if I actually get my act together to do links. Sometimes I say I'm going to link to stuff, but I don't. I'm so lazy. But in any event, a couple people did that. And it's a really neat pattern. It's a very satisfying, aesthetically speaking, pattern. So someone did it very strictly, and someone just sort of loosely based what they were doing on that. So there were a lot of gray. That seems to be what's trending. I think it's been trending so long, it's probably trending out with modern quilts, is the gray background, which I like. It's so interesting to look at something, and you know it's part of a trend. It's just what people are doing right now. And at the same time, you're still enjoying it, even though you're going, oh, well, everyone's doing gray right now. And you're like, yeah, because it looks really cool. It will date, I think. You know, a couple years from now, we'll look back and go, wow, everyone's doing all that gray. But I like that look. I brought my quilt was well received, and the really seemingly unanimous vote was do not quilt anymore. Leave those little nine patches in relief. So I've taken a picture. I hope it's in focus. Hold on, I might sneeze here. I did. I could have recorded it. Maybe you would have enjoyed it. I don't know. I think there's some new allergens in the air. Everyone seems to be particularly sneezy right now. I hope we're not all coming down with colds. I don't feel that I am. I feel very perfectly healthy. Any event, yes, so the vote. So I have pictures, hopefully in focus. Maybe I'll get my act together and get the man to help me with pixels. But I still have to bind it. That was my decision late Saturday night, was not going to do any more work until I get a vote on the quilt. And the vote was, as I said, pretty much leave it be. So I will bind it. And it was a nice meeting. There is a woman there I just adore. She is the oldest member of this particular chapter. And I would say well into her 70s. And she's just grumpy in this very satisfying way that you like it when old women are like Shirley MacLaine in Steel Magnolias. But she came up. She's, I think, does more art quilts. And she was like, ah, I don't like this. This is terrible. This is awful. And then she revealed what she had done. And it was basically she had a Kandinsky print. You know, the artist. Is Kandinsky German? I don't think he is. I think he's Swiss. Something like that. Anyway. So had this, but, you know, was part of sort of that German expressionist movement. Or what came right before that, actually. Anyway, had a Kandinsky print, and she had used that as her guide. And it was fabulous. She wasn't done, but it looked really, really cool. So, but it just killed me. She's like, oh, this isn't much good. And you're just like, what are you talking about? People are insane. I think that women do this anyway. Kind of like, oh, it's not very good. I don't like it that much. And then they unveil it, and you're like, what are you talking about? That's the Mona Lisa, that's Da Vinci, that's Michelangelo, you know, crazy, crazy, but we're just such self-deprecating creatures. Anyway, so I wanted to give that report. I'm actually moving on in time. I was going to talk to you about some new books I've been reading, including Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mom or Mother, which got so much press and raised so much controversy here in the States, at least, earlier this spring, which I read. And just thought, wow, you can be Ivy League educated and still not write well. But I enjoyed the book. I did. I enjoyed it. I thought this woman is rather insane, but there's some good parenting tips hidden in here nonetheless. So it's kind of fun. You know, it's fun every once in a while to read those books that are garnering all the press and controversy. I don't always do it, but this one is a very easy read. And she doesn't strike me, the author, as the most self-aware person in the world, but she's trying, you know, she's actually trying to be funny in places, and I think she's trying to be very honest, and I appreciated that. I think she got slammed pretty hard and shouldn't have. So if you see it at your library, pick it up if you're interested in parenting issues or just kind of staying up with the latest controversies. There you go. Read it. So, but I'm going to stop here. I'm going to say goodbye and then hopefully later today record the introduction to this. So I hope you have a great week. And okay, I'm going to go. Say goodbye to the cicadas. All right. Bye.